It's Thursday, the 6th of September. Welcome to episode 133 of Digital Outbox. Hello and good evening. I never did I think Thursday the 6th of September would be so hard to say. Joining me tonight is Henry. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing very well, actually. Yes, just long time no hear, I think. That's the expression.
Yes. No Chris tonight. It looks like work's got the better of him. So he sounded a bit hacked off, to be honest. So chin up. I did say chin up. I was going to say chins up, but he has lost quite a bit of weight. So it's not a podcast without a pop at something.
That's very true. Very true. Unfortunately, it's usually Chris.
Yeah, so disappointingly, seeing as you're our patent expert, you missed all the kind of patent news over the last few weeks.
I missed all the patent news, but I have obviously been catching up with all your expert chat and comment on the Digital Lightbox podcast.
You lie. Expert my backside. The good news is we're now into silly season. We've now got loads of hardware announcements. I think tonight's thing, it's a podcast, is all hardware mostly.
Yes, so bring it.
Yep, so first up was Nokia. So this was a Windows Phone 8 event. I'm still sure that's the Windows Phone 8 just sounds wrong, but Nokia had a big show yesterday. And I guess we should have preempted all this by saying everybody's getting their hardware out before next week. So we'll maybe mention next week towards the end. Nokia Windows 8 event, and they announced the Lumia 920. So this was a brand new version. This was a new flagship smartphone, Lumia 920. It's got a fast chip. It's got a nice screen. It's got a large screen. It's 4.5 inches. And I just think these things are getting really quite big.
They're not. They're really kind of losing the whole phone thing, aren't they? And going much more for the smart side of things. You know, smart in capitals, phone in very lowercase, and a much smaller font.
Absolutely, and there was some research a few weeks ago that did say that, you know, phone usage on these devices is now, like, you know, fourth or fifth in the list, you know, behind you know. Social, you know, like Facebook and Twitter and web and games and video and texting, and then I think phone came in.
Well, I would say that's always been the case for me in the smartphone. I never really used a phone to talk to too much. You might say that's because I've not really got many people to talk to, but we'll gloss over that. And I just used it for all the great apps and stuff that you get on them.
Yes, and I'm much the same. So this phone looked really good, and I think the last Lumia looked really good as well, and it was maybe slightly let down by the fact that they had Windows 7 and 7.5 kind of bolted on, which was a, you know, brave new direction, but didn't really get a massive take up. So this had Windows 8, and I guess the thing about Windows 8, it's not out yet, and this phone isn't out yet, because I think that the thing for me was that it was the biggest fail. Was we can't say when we're releasing it, and we can't tell you how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, and that's one thing about Apple. Although they pre-announce their products by up to 6 months, you do always know how much they're going to cost when they do come out.
Absolutely, and the market definitely reacted to that. I mean, Nokia shares down 15%. I mean, considering how much they've lost over the kind of last couple of years, it's a fairly big drop. And I think it was just the disappointment that is that it. You know, the big things they were talking around was really focusing on the camera on it, and seeing how they've really got some smart, you know, software and hardware in there. And it just needs more.
I know, but really, how far can they take this? You know, you've got a really nice screen. You know, I mean, all smartphones now have got a really nice screen. They've got fast processors. They can do just about anything. You know, they're all pretty much a muchness in terms of capability. Where is there really to take these now?
I know, and it's something I think we'll see through some of the other announcements later on. There is only so much. It's now it's very incremental. a lot of the technologies, you know, if you look at the Android devices, they're all much of a muchness. They're all 4.5, 4.7. They're all got, you know, almost Retina-esque screens. And it's things like battery life that are becoming the biggest kind of upgrades. The rest is all fairly standard now.
Yeah.
And just when I mentioned cameras, another little oops, The Verge spotted this. One of the things that Nokia were emphasizing was the image stabilization, and they put out a video showing you how good the image stabilization was. But The Verge paused at one point and looked at the video, and there's a reflection in a truck behind this bike, and it showed there was a DSLR was actually doing the image stabilization and not the Nokia.
Epic fail.
It was. So a couple of hours later that Nokia did admit that, yeah, that was a mistake and we shouldn't have done that. But also the stills on their site from the camera weren't from the actual camera. They're from an actual DSLR as well.
It's shocking, isn't it? Really bad.
It's just... I don't know, it just feels like real kind of schoolboy error.
Yeah, but it does show really how seriously they kind of take their marketing as well, isn't it? That they've got to get these things absolutely, you know, the very best quality pictures and images and ads out that they can, and therefore they're prepared to use even stuff that's not not really the product it's purported to be.
I'm just looking through the features again. It will come with wireless charging, which was interesting. There's still not been many devices that support, you know, wireless charging. So that was a tick in the box. But apart from that, nothing really kind of stood out too much. 4G in Europe, but again, how much will that affect us here? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've just not got any coverage for that at all, really, have we? So
moving on from Nokia. Motorola. So this was the first kind of Motorola announcement. Now that they've been bought by by Google. So Eric Schmidt was there. Still can't say Schmidt without doing a kind of slight Schmidt. And Eric Schmidt was there talking about how Google have kind of messed up with tablets. But we're doing lots of activations. 1.3 million activations per day. Which is
and those are real numbers, you know. They, never mind how many they're selling and things. Activations are real numbers of people that are actually using the device or at least switching them on.
Absolutely, and it's an amazing number. So the product they really focused on was the and you'll notice some similar stats here. It was a Droid Razr HD 4.7-inch screen HD display. It's a bit strange, ice cream sandwich. So you know the kind of. You know, Google now own it, but they're still not putting out a phone with Jelly Bean on it. It's ice cream sandwich, and it will come with Jelly Bean later on. And again, a pretty big battery, and that was about it. It has LTE, but it just all felt again much of a muchness. There isn't really, you know, much differentiating these.
No, and you know, you said we'll talk about our the event next week, and I don't know that there's really. Many places for Apple to go either. So people are looking for really the next greatest, you know, best thing. Incremental, I think, is the word.
Yep. A bit like Nokia. No release date, no price. So well done, Motorola. Well done, Google.
Did you watch the whole announcement?
No, I just read some comments, because, to be honest, and saw some posts.
Because these things really are. They're going to be hours of your life which you're never going to get back, aren't they? I mean, you don't even know when it's coming out. You don't even know if it's coming out in the UK or in Europe. and you don't know how much it's going to cost. Well, you know, those are some pretty significant buying decisions, I would have thought.
Yeah. And although saying that, I will watch the Apple event next week. I'm a fanboy. And... I would have watched the next news stories event if it was live streaming. So Amazon have just done their big kind of press briefing, and there was a lot of buzz about this, and they actually had a lot of products to rattle through. It was probably their biggest kind of hardware release at any one time. So we'll crack on through this list. First up, so this was the Kindle Paperwhite. So this was much rumored. So this is a new Kindle, a much sharper screen. and much brighter. So it basically is a white screen. And they talked about how it's got this kind of ambient kind of light coming off it, and it doesn't hurt your eyes. And still with an 8 month battery, or not 8 month, 8 week. 8 month battery there, that would be something. 8 week battery.
That's not incremental. 8 month battery is revolutionary.
Yes. But certainly the clarity on the screen looked a lot better than the current Kindle. It was still light and thin, and it actually looked really good. There's going to be a Wi-Fi model, and again, it's only US prices at the moment. Everything tonight was just US focused. There was no talk about international at all. So the Wi-Fi only is $119, and there's a 3G enabled one for $179. And the 3G is their WhisperNet, you know, worldwide. Basically, once you've bought it, that's you enabled. There's no ongoing cost. So I still think it's a really good deal. The only thing that wasn't clear is if those prices, because in America you get these ad-supported prices.
Yeah.
And there was some chat on Twitter about, there was nothing clear about if these were the ad-supported prices. But no, I thought they were really good devices. You know, the Paper White looks to be a really nice evolution. It's out October 1st, so not long to wait.
Can you read them in the dark, or do you still need it?
You can read them in the dark and also outside. So seemingly it works perfectly well outside. And that's, I know, one of the big selling points of the current Kindle. Unlike a lot of tablets and laptops, you know, I think the Kindle works, you know, very well outside as a reader. And seemingly this Paper White one, as well as being clearer, it still works outside.
Very good. Certainly, I know a lot of folk have said, guys at work that travel a lot, that having a 3G version is absolutely fantastic, because you know, roaming rates are so absolutely extortionate for data. You know, if you're traveling around and you can still download stuff, and of course you can still browse to a limited extent, which is quite good.
Yep, and I know. I mean, certainly the couple of folk I know at work that use one, it's just the fact you can just buy a book. You know, you fancy that book, buy. And then you can, you know, onto the plane and just start reading.
Yeah, or just buy. I mean, my dad's been buying books for years, actually, and the Kindle just lets him do that without cluttering up the house. It's great.
It is fantastic. And speaking of the Kindle, the original Kindle will still be available as well, with a slightly crisper text and the new fonts of the Paper White devices, but they've dropped the price. So it's dropping from $79 to $69, and I'm sure that's the ad-supported price in America. And that's why there was some debate about the Paper White ones, whether it was the ad-supported price or not. But again, it's a drop in price. A lot of people talked about whether we'd go free. You know, if you're a Prime user, would you get a free Kindle? But obviously, clearly, that they're not at that point yet. But getting ever closer.
Absolutely.
The big kind of daddy announcements. Big daddy. Kindle Fire, which we haven't seen here, but it has been, according to Amazon, their biggest. And we touched on it last week. They keep on saying that Kindle Fire was their biggest bestseller on Amazon.com, and it captured, I think it was 16% of the tablet market in America, but there's still no figures. It just all feels a bit smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, and really, I think that this is this has been totally overshadowed by the Nexus 7, similar price, and you know, much faster, and to me, a more capable. More capable device that, of course, you could put the Kindle app on and read all your Kindle books.
Absolutely. But the Kindle Fire's got an update tonight. So it's still got a 7-inch display, but the processor's now 40% faster. It's got twice as much RAM and a longer battery life. And it's dropped in price. So it's now $160, shipping on September 14th.
Funny that. I wonder where they got that price point from.
Exactly. And as you said, I think the Nexus still stacks up as a far more capable device. I think the fact that Amazon have got a kind of hacked version of Android still hurts them. They've just not got the app market of Android. You know, yes, they've got games, and yes, they have got apps, but it still is a shop front for Amazon more than anything else. That's the Kindle Fire. And then came the kind of the big woo. There's lots of rumors about that we're going to do a phone, but there's no phone tonight. But there was the Kindle Fire HD, So this was actually two models with a 7 and an 8.9 inch. An 8.9 inch is a 1920 by 1200 screen, so really good resolution. And there's a lot of tech talk, and I was watching it, and it was a whole load of kind of blah blah blah. So, you know, the focus and visuals and making it sure it's less glare, and they're using a Texas Instrument processor, which they say outperforms the Tegra 3. Like stereo speakers, unlike the iPad's mono, and they actually showed it on the screen saying, you know, here's our current leader, and it's only a mono. We wanted better than that. And also they babbled on a lot about Wi-Fi, and they've got this new MIMO radio technology. And the storage is 16 gig. So spec-wise, it looked not too bad. They also had some software announcements. Whisper Sync for voice. So it syncs a textbook with your audiobook, so you can listen and read, which I thought was really smart.
Yeah, you have to say, give it to Amazon, that really they do kind of come up with a lot of good innovations of things that you think, oh yeah, you know, I wish I had thought of that. Or, they've clearly got people thinking, I suppose maybe similar to the way I would think, you know, I wish I could just, and then they go in and deliver. So that's quite interesting, Whisper Sync like that.
Yep, there was X-ray for movies. You're watching a movie and you pause it, and you can tap on the actor and it'll pull all the information from IMDb about that actor.
Well, that's just brilliant, isn't it? I mean, the number of times that I do that, I mean, and obviously can't at the moment, but you know,
yes.
You go, who's that guy? And you are trying to find it on IMDb, and you know.
No, absolutely. And I fire it up on the iPad. I'm watching a film. And I'll fire it up on iPad, and I'm looking at the cast list, and I'm thinking, is that a guy? Oh, of course, he was in Star Trek.
That's right.
Now I remember.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's really good. And it was Whisper Sync for games, which syncs level in progress, and you're thinking, yeah, there was custom Facebook and Skype apps. Again, I think this just shows there's an immaturity in that app market. You know, I think the Fire was bought because it was great for media consumption, but not really for all the apps that it's got.
No, that's right.
And one interesting thing was Kindle Free Time. I don't have kids, you have kids, but they're all mostly grown up now, or all getting there. But this was you could basically set up multiple profiles for kids, and set different times for different content. So you could say, well, you know, you've got an hour for reading, but then you'll get a half hour for games.
Yep.
And then it kind of locks down. After that.
So I like that actually. I like that a lot.
Mm. Yep. I thought it was good. So Kindle Fire HD, the 7-inch model, $199, and that came with 16 gig.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a good price. Shipped September 14th.
Yep.
8.9-inch model was
$299,
which is really quite cheap.
Yeah, definitely.
Quite cheap. That's not out to November, so November 20th. And the final, they actually had another model, which was a horribly named Kindle Fire HD with 4G LTE wireless.
Oh.
That's its proper name.
Say that with your teeth out.
So the way led up to this was the elephant in the room was all about price and how can we make things so cheap, but it's all about service. They see it as they don't want to make money with hardware, they'll make money off people buying content. But then they thought, well, what's the leading tablet cost? What's the leading, you know, price of an iPad? And it's a $499 model, the most popular. What could they do? And the reason what they said was it wasn't just storage and going to 32 gig. It was throwing in the 4G chip, but also a new data plan. So for $50 a year, you got a 4G data plan, which gave you 250 meg a month, but 200 gig of cloud storage and $10 of Amazon credit. And that at first sounded really good, but then you think 250 meg a month? Surely that you'd just burn through that in a day if you've got 4G.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, it probably is quite competitive when you compare it with the amount, you know, the what data is charged at for download. So,
yeah, that's true. And then they put up the kind of zinger slide, which says, you know, compared to an iPad 3, so it's if you take the iPad 3 price plus the cost of a 4G and 1 year plan. The first year would cost you $959 for the iPad, but only $549 for the Kindle Fire. And they're saying it's like for like, you know, storage, screen, etc. But I think app-wise and operating system and what the two are actually doing are very different. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think the thing is, though, I don't know anybody that's got a 3G iPad that is using that all the time. They tend to, have the 3G availability for when they're going away, or they'll not be out. They'll be out with Wi-Fi. So you've got you're not paying all that much money a month. I mean, how much are you paying something every month?
So I still go with picking up. I pick up a 3-month, 3 gigabyte SIM from Three for roughly a tenner.
Yeah,
and because I can't get Wi-Fi at work, and generally when I use it, it's Twitter, email, the odd occasional video. But I would really like to stream iTunes Match. So what I'll probably do when the new iPhone comes out is move over to a tethering contract, so I can tether and get unlimited and do it that way. And it's just the work I'm at, I'll never have Wi-Fi. So I'm kind of, I need to provide my own solution to get online. I know lots of other firms have got Wi-Fi and the employees can jump on, etc. I don't have that luxury.
We have Wi-Fi and no proxy either.
Oh dear. Let's not go there. I am completely locked down. The final kind of, I actually thought the hardware tonight from Amazon looks really interesting. I think it poses a number of questions. Certainly they had a real pop at Google right at the start of this. It was basically saying, there's 30 Android tablets come out and nobody's bought them. Nobody's bought them because nobody wants them. Whereas the Fire was quite successful, or very successful in their eyes. I think it also has what's Microsoft going to do with the Surface? How do they compete with these? You've got Apple, which is the market leader, and its prices are okay, but are starting to seem a little bit expensive compared to these tablets.
Yes, but
then you've got the Nexus, you've got Amazon now. How can Microsoft come out with a tablet, the same price or dearer than an iPad, and think it's going to build up any sort of market?
Well, I think they'll be going for a completely different market, won't they? Which will be the business market, which is massive. It's absolutely massive, a lot of businesses won't use iPads for security and stuff, they're not quite as capable. Whereas if you look at a Surface, particularly the ones they're talking about bringing in later on, not straight away, which have the more powerful Intel chips in them. They look like. Because they may well compete with the kind of Ultrabook in the Ultrabook market at around about, $1,000 or so. I think there is a bit of a market for that with businesses much more than with consumers. So I think that's where Microsoft are going to go. But their consumer devices, I can't really see them taking off at all. I think you're right.
No. And I'm just remembered the name is the RT, so that Windows kind of RT device,
yes.
Which I think is the more consumer one, because
yes.
It's an ARM processor rather than Intel.
That's right.
That's the one where they're going to have to really be aggressive in price, I think, to have any hope.
And I just can't see it happening. I mean, Amazon here are talking about how the Kindle Fire was so successful. It was so successful because it was only $199. We saw
yes.
it with HP. They were really successful when they pulled out of the tablet market, and you could pick up their tablets for £100.
Yeah,
and
I got it.
And Google are the same. The Nexus 7 is hugely popular because it's either £160 or £200. I think you're absolutely right, Ian. If Microsoft don't come in with something. Round about that price point, it'll happen. What will happen is exactly the same as what's happened with the Android tablets at around the £300-400 price point. Everyone will go, thanks very much, but I think I'll go and buy an iPad.
I even know a couple of Android users that picked up Android tablets, and they were a lot cheaper, but eventually they've actually moved to an iPad. It's just you know, the app market's not there, and they're seeing other people doing so much with their iPads. You know, so whether they pick up an iPad 2 just because it gets flooded or it's cheaper, or whether they go for the 3 with the Retina, it's just like it's just really hard to compete. I do think there's a bit interesting as well, because Apple are obviously lots of rumors about this iPad mini. It'll be interesting to see what that does and what price that comes in at in October. And there's talk of a 3G Nexus coming from Google in October as well. So it's October's going to be a hot old month, because we should finally see the Surface pricing and availability as well. So good times. And I guess it'll depend, for me it'll depend very much on what Amazon do in the UK. I can't believe they won't release the Fire here. I can't believe we'll go through another generation where it's not released here, especially with all the announcements last week about the App Store and you know the Cloud Locker stuff coming as well.
And I must admit that's what I found very surprising about this announcement today, because with the announcement of the Amazon App Store, it really kind of set them up for launching the Kindle Fire over here. And that's not happened today, has it?
No, and I mean, when I saw the slides and I was watching the coverage in The Verge, it was very Apple-esque. You know, it was, you know, the slides were done very similar. The way they repeated the points, you know, they had the selling date and price up there. And the only thing that kind of stood out was, you know, when Apple does it, they do talk about, here's where we're going to be releasing. And it's usually the 5 or 6 markets. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, it's another 25. They do. Yes, it's all American focused because the dollar price is there and not obviously the international price. But it at least it gets a mention, and at least you know it's coming. And with this, you just feel, I hope it does. I really do hope it does. iPlayer, shifting to software for just a brief moment. iPlayer's finally, I guess people have been wanting this for ages. I know a few folk kept on saying to me, why can't I do this? So iPlayer have launched a mobile download service. So you can now download programs to, it's going to be your phone or your tablet device or your mobile device, and then store it on there for up to 30 days and watch it without a connection. Finally.
Yeah, finally. It's been a while coming, hasn't it?
Yeah. I gave it a try. It works really well. I've got it in there. So it's only, initially it's going to be iPhone and iPad and iPod Touch devices, and it'll come out soon for Android. And I fired it up, downloaded, it was two hour-long episodes of a BBC show, and by default, it's the kind of lower quality, so it's about 300 meg it came in at, but you can swap to higher quality. I think it was about 600 or 900, and the quality was excellent. You know, it worked exactly as it said. Downloaded, it was pretty quick to download, and I've now got those two episodes on the iPad. I can watch it any time within the next 30 days.
Fantastic.
Simple. Right, back to hardware. the Raspberry Pi.
Way!
Finally. So the first bit of news before we throw to you. The Raspberry Pi, which is currently made in China, is to be manufactured in the UK, which is good news.
It's fantastic news.
Yes. So a deal has been signed between Premier Farnell, which is currently a distributor of the Raspberry Pi, and Sony. So they're going to make 300,000 of the Pis in Wales. So that's the problem they had initially is they just couldn't make it here for the price, but they've managed to strike a deal. But for the components, it's going to be 30 new jobs created, and you'll soon be able to buy a Raspberry Pi that's been made in the UK.
It's very good. The interesting thing about this also is it's got mounting holes, which the current version of the Raspberry Pi a bit of an oversight that it doesn't have those. So you'll be able to do that with the version 2. This is absolutely fantastic that they've been able to do that. And to be honest, I'm not really surprised that they've finally been able to get somewhere here that's prepared to take it on. It's a surefire winner, and there's not a huge amount of risk involved, you know, they've got the orders kind of stacked up for it, really. So it's a good a good thing. The interesting thing for me was that it's taken them 6 months to actually really get this announced and pulled together and everything organized for this. And I suppose it does take a while to get these things sorted out.
Absolutely. Now, you've had a busy summer, so you've not been on for a while, but you do have a Raspberry Pi, so it's probably a good time for you to maybe give us a quick review of what you've found so far.
Yeah, very quickly. I mean, I did have to wait a little while for my Raspberry Pi, but it turned up in a little box through the letterbox, so nobody had to be in to pick it up. I've still not put it in any case, but I have. I got an old mobile phone charger, and I got a bargain bucket 99p 4 GB SD card from PC World. Fired up on the on the PC. Downloaded a program and downloaded the software image of for Linux. Put the distro on the SD card, a couple of clicks, and fired it up, and it's good to go. So I've tried a number of the different distros, tried a number of different things with it. I've tried running it as a VNC server, remoting into it. I've put Google Authenticator on it so that I need my iPhone if I want to remotely log into it. And the other thing I've done with it is I've now got it connected up to my voice over IP account with SIPgate, because they give you a free local rate, not a local rate, geographical number. So I've got a Glasgow number linked to my Raspberry Pi, and I can phone the Raspberry Pi and it actually answers the phone.
Fantastic, you geek.
So, yeah, that's true. Now, the next step for me is I'm going to be working with my daughter, and I need to get a couple of components, an opto-isolator and a couple of resistors, and connect up the output GPIO pin to my garage door, electric garage door that I've got. So, therefore, by phoning my Raspberry Pi, it will open the door for me.
Oh, that's the best ever.
So, so once I get that up and running in the next month or so, I'm hoping to put up a YouTube video or something, and you'll be able to see for yourself how it all works with me calling my Raspberry Pi and having it open the garage door.
That's the best. That is superb. And do you think, I mean, if somebody's interested in it, do you think, getting a case for it is should you bother? I know there's lots of, I mean, I quite like the Lego case and stuff like that are online, and lots of things like that.
A lot of the cases are great. The whole thing is, of course, with the Raspberry Pi that it's a £30 computer. Yes. And of course, for a case, you're looking at another tenner, roughly. Unless you've got, the Lego kind of kicking about. So a Lego case is quite a good idea because you've maybe got the bits and pieces is kicking about. To be honest, I've not bothered, and I quite like just having it around. And if I fry it, then I might revise that opinion. but at the moment, I quite like just it's just sitting behind the TV actually at the moment. But...
Superb. Well, I look forward to your garage door opening video coming soon.
Coming soon.
Just a quick update on Kindle Fire. It is coming to the UK. So 7-inch Kindle Fire HD with 16 gig will cost £159, and the lower-end Kindle Fire will be £129. And that will be available for delivery from 25th October in the UK.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, that's really good. So it looks like the 8.9-inch Kindle Fire HD is only going to be released in the US at this time. So it's only the smaller tablets that are available here. But still, at least that's good that the fires are coming. The fires are coming! Final bit of hardware news. Valve are recruiting hardware engineers. So Valve, company behind Steam, Half-Life, Team Fortress, all that kind of good stuff. And at first I thought this was like, ooh, maybe they're going to do their own little console, and some sort of, funnily, you know, Android-y powered device or something like that. But it seems to be that they're going to look at mice and keyboard. So it was like, oh, is that really it? And maybe not. Maybe they will do something more exciting.
Well, yeah. But I mean, they are known for their software. It's quite interesting, though, isn't it? They're kind of looking to branch out into hardware. It's a tough gig to do, though. It's something difficult.
Yeah,
to,
that's true.
To I think I would have thought that they would have had better success with their announcement last week, which you mentioned on the podcast about them selling software, you know, other business software or office software, just games.
Yeah. And it's but obviously, and when they did warn about Windows 8, you know, maybe not being good for them, and you do wonder with this, just the way they're kind of branching out, you know, they have actually got a Linux client up and running now, so there's they're definitely looking elsewhere and thinking we need to diversify a bit. Windows maybe not the, you know, the platform or the behemoth that it once was.
Well, I know we're sitting that saying that just now, or Valve certainly are, but you know, I really can't see Windows 8 not taking off at all. Those upgrade prices you mentioned last week as well, very competitive, and I just can't see. I mean, you know, I'm already talking to people who are going into the loft and peeling off certificate of authentication labels off ditched XP computers so that they can get an upgrade on to Windows 8. So I'm sure it's going to be massively successful, and I don't think Microsoft's going away anywhere soon.
No, I think it's just that Microsoft and another company like Nokia that we can add to the list of Digital Outbox wrote them off in 2012. RIM as well. I'm pretty sure we just kind of dismissed it as, oh, they're finished. they've only made 20 billion this quarter. Oh, it's over. Final story tonight, and this is in for two reasons. One, because it highlights that most of the news we read is complete bollocks. But two, it was a good point it was made anyway. So seemingly Bruce Willis is going to fight Apple over the right to leave an iTunes library in his will. And this sounds great, because you're just thinking, go on, Bruce, you know, great and die hard, and he's going to take Apple to court, stick it to the man. And the first time I saw it was people were linking to the Daily Mail story, and I was like, I don't really want to look at the Daily Mail story. But I looked at it, and then, of course, later on, I think it was his daughter tweeted, this is a load of bollocks. and I'd love to say it was just the Daily Mail, but actually it appeared in the Times behind the paywall. And the reason that people were reading it in the mail was because it was free. But the Guardian copied this as well. And even better, the Guardian then did a story about how they were all duped. And it was like, it's all about the clicks. But away from that, it was making a good point. You know, this investment we're all making in digital. And if you look at Amazon, everything's bought in the cloud and stored in the cloud. How do you... Who inherits that? If I pop, it just goes. Whereas my current fantastic Blu-ray media collection, at least somebody will get that.
Yeah, they'll not have the hardware to play them on, but that's beside the point.
Well, you can.
It's like Betamax all over again, isn't it? That's what it's going to be like. You know, I mean, you got some Betamax videos, but who's got a Betamax player? Absolutely nobody. In fact, I've probably lost, you know, 90% of our listeners anyway, who don't have a clue what I'm talking about when I say Betamax.
Well, you lost me, because clearly you're that much older. But just for you, Henry, even though I'm not going to amend my will, see if I pop, you can have the Blu-rays and the PS3 to play it on.
Woohoo!
It's all for you. You've probably got half my Blu-rays anyway, I just don't know it.
So when are you dying?
Well, when I did the online test, it said I was 42, so there's only 3 years left. That's not long. That was 7 stone ago, but so maybe I need to go and do it again. The whole thing around owning digital media, I still think has to be sorted. I still have a reluctance in many ways about the whole real buying from iTunes some videos when it's like it's so big, and how do I stream them, and how do I get them, and what do I really own? So I don't know. It's all a bit fuzzy.
Okay, but here's a thought. Do you need to own music anymore?
With
Spotify and all these kind of things now, these streaming services, do you really, you can have any kind of music you want, anytime you want. Do you really actually need to own it?
And it's a good point, and I think I'm a bit of a fuddy-duddy about it, because one of my friends at work is a premium member, Chris, I think, is premium with Spotify, and I actually had somebody mail me through the week and say, Spotify, are you premium or free? He says, no, new, you're premium. And I was like, no, I'm free, because I don't use it that much, and I actually still buy quite a bit just from iTunes. I'll just go in there and I'll just buy. And I've got something about buying it and having it, and it's mine. I know it's an old worldy thing, but that's it. I've not got out of that, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it. I get quite snobby as well, I must admit. Go to Spotify and I see like a track missing on an album, I just think, so do you, Spotify. That's why I don't pay my money. I know it's few and far between, but when you go and look at, like, you know, most played, and you click on it and it's no longer available, you just think, you suck. And I know it's not them, I know it's the publishers, but it's that. Yeah. So I think you've just said, what about you? Are you a streamer or are you a buyer? Or?
I'm a streamer because I've never really got into buying huge amounts of music, but I do quite, you know, go through phases of liking to listen stuff, and then I just want to be able to find it and play what I want rather than actually going and buying the stuff. And there's so many services now where you can actually... you can actually find out what it is that you kind of quite liked but can't quite remember what it was, which is brilliant for the likes of me.
Yeah, and me. So, yeah, I think we've established that I'm the Luddite. Thanks for that. That makes me feel fantastic. When are you next on? Is it next year? Chris is far better at massaging my very, very slight ego. That's our news this week. And there's no picks. Because I think Henry's pick's definitely the pie, and I've not got one.
Well, I've had the pick before. I was gonna talk about Gympact as a pick, but I can't really recommend it at all because it does sound a very interesting idea to get paid for going to the gym But I can't see that I would pay lots of money when I skipped going to the gym. But
let's not get into our gym stories. that just sounds wrong as well. So let's just end it there. If you want to find out more, our website is digitaloutbox.com. We'd love some emails. So info@digitaloutbox.com if you've got any questions or queries or tips or anything like that. Twitter, digitaloutbox. Skype, digitaloutbox. My blog's ENG.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper. I'm on app.net as Ian Dick. Henry, what about you? Where are you?
I'm Talk Rhubarb on Twitter.
Still the best Twitter name ever. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next week with some Apple announcement news.
Yay.
Can't wait. Ta-da.
Bye-bye now.
I'm getting a new phone. Nah, 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 nah. I think it's terrible that I already know I'm buying it, even though I don't know what it is.
We didn't really talk about the Apple announcement. Time got away from us.
I did, actually.
I had a point to make about that. It's just a guy at work was saying, so what's this Apple announcement going to be about next week? I was like, come on. You read all the tech blogs as much as I do, you know.
No, but the scary thing is, it was on BBC News.
It's quite something, isn't it?
BBC News, it's like BBC News Tonight. It's like, it's just amazing how tech's gone so mainstream.
Absolutely.
You know, so it was on its latest news at one point about Amazon. In fact, it's not in its top news, it's in its like It's like eighth story. Amazon Kindle Fires come to UK. Ooh. And you kind of know the iPhone 5 or whatever it'll be. An iPhone 5, I did see an interesting, somebody said today, everybody thinks it's going to be called the iPhone 5. What if the 5 is 5 new products?
It's not going to be iPhone 5 at all. It's going to be iPhone.
Oh, I don't know. I'd love it to be an iPhone 5 for all the people that were going, see the people saying it's iPhone 5? There's already been 5. It can't be. And I was reading all these tweets and I was like, get it right up you. They'll call it whatever they want.
Do you know what they're going to call it? The iPhone 2. Because they missed that one, so they're going back and filling in the gaps.